The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello there. Welcome once again to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. This is our podcast broadcast ministry, and we love it that you are with us today. Today is a question and answer episode, and today's question comes from a listener just like you, wanting to know the difference in believing in Jesus for eternal life before the cross and after the cross. Was the mindset or the content of faith any different before the cross and resurrection than it is after the cross and resurrection? Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling are in charge of the content today. They are right here ready to go. After I briefly tell you about our website where you can find out more about us, the Grace Evangelical Society, that website address is faithalone.org. We have some free ebooks, lots of articles, blogs and videos and books. I just want to mention our most recently published book by Bob Wilkin, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. You can find that at our website or on Amazon, and it is available now. And you'll find us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. All right, then, let's get started with today's discussion, the question and the answer. And here are Bob and Philippe.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. And Philippe, you've got some really humdinger question here, right?
We have some questions from Jeff. What is the difference between believing Jesus for those who believe before his death versus us after his death? So what's the difference between before and after the cross?
And I think he specifically asked, do people have to believe in substitutionary, well, the cross and the resurrection, right? Doesn't he mention that?
Yeah, after the cross, those people have to fully understand all aspects
of that. Is that what he
said?
Okay, good question. Very good question. First of all, let's deal with before the cross. The disciples, often we think of the disciples as New Testament believers, but as Jeff is pointing out, they weren't New Testament believers at the beginning. They came to faith before the church was born. They came to faith before they knew about the death and resurrection of Christ. Even though Jesus alluded to his death in John 3:14-16, when he talked about being lifted up, they had no idea that he was talking about the cross. And even when he came straight out in Matthew 16 and told them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, and then on the third day I'll rise, Peter's response is,
may it never be. What? And three times he said, at least we're told, you know, at least three times that he was going to die and rise from the dead.
Right.
But you just didn't penetrate.
They did not get it. Because their view of Messiah was someone who was going to rule and reign, and he was going to rule and reign immediately. No delay, no death first and then reign later. And so, but they did, as Jeff said, they believed in him for what he promises, which is everlasting life. They believed John 3:16, John 5:24. They believed the simple truth that whoever believes in him will never perish but has everlasting life.
So they believed both in the giver and the gift.
Yeah, John 4:10.
Had everlasting life.
Right. And so the question that Jeff's asking, does that shift after the cross? I think the simple answer is it depends on your view of the Gospel of John. If you view the Gospel of John as a history book on how people were born again in a different age, but the saving message has since changed, and so this needs to be supplemented or even some people would argue completely changed, or do you view the Gospel of John as an evangelistic book for this age and is telling people how to be born again in this age? Because clearly, if it's telling us how to be born in this age, well, then you don't have to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus in order to believe John 3:16 or John 5:24. Now, having said that, we have a big disadvantage over the people who were around Jesus and heard Jesus preach and teach, and that is they saw him. They heard him. They saw his miracles. They were present. We don't have that. And so it seems to me that we need the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus to lead us to believe the promise of everlasting life. But having said that, That's not an absolute need. That's simply a need we have in order to persuade us. But I don't think that's true of everybody. For example, small children, if their parents tell them about the promise of life, they may learn that Jesus guarantees they'll spend eternity with him and with their parents and with all believers simply by faith in him, and yet not really understand about his death and resurrection. They may not even grasp yet what death is. I mean, small children, do they really understand death and resurrection?
Now, for example, both of my children went to an Awana program, and both of them, in the case of my son, it was when he was 8 years old. He finally says, yes, I believe Jesus for the promise of everlasting life. For my daughter, it was when she was 4 years old, and because they didn't have the full theological understanding, that I do, being
right
after seminary and
right
everything, but they simply believe what we were telling them about Jesus and the fact he could have everlasting life. Now, the Gospel of John, we're told also that those who are believing without having actually seen all those signs themselves are blessed.
In John 20.
Right.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.
Yes. So we're saying, perhaps in the Gospel of John, that the death and resurrection is the eighth and final sign that kind of puts it all together. But people at any point in time could, whenever they're persuaded of the gift and the giver.
Okay, that's a great point. Most people say there are seven signs in John because John uses that term sign in seven different miracles, like, for example, the turning water into wine, walking on water, feeding the 5,000. There are seven different signs in John's gospel. And in John 20, 30 and 31, he says, these signs have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So you make a good point. They don't have to wait until the eighth sign to be born again. Someone reading John's gospel could be born again after reading him turning water into wine or feeding the 5,000. Or healing the sick, raising the dead. They read these things and they believe the truth of John 3:16. They don't have to wait until the end of John's gospel when you read about his death and resurrection in order to come to faith. Now, they could, and many people do. In fact, I don't recall ever meeting anybody that told me they were born again before they believed Jesus died and rose again. Have you ever met anybody
like
that? No,
everyone I've ever shared the message of life with and who were believing, they already knew about the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
That's just part of their culture and environment. But did they ever clearly understand that all they had to do was believe the promise? They didn't until I explained that.
That's right. That's a very good point. I've just written a book, and it's called The Gospel is Still Under Siege. In 1981, Zane Hodges wrote a barn burner book called The Gospel Under Siege, basically explaining the free gift of everlasting life, and it was a really powerful book. Well, I have a friend, Mike Lee. You know Mike well. Mike urged me to write a follow-up to it because the gospel is still under siege. So in that book, I do talk about this issue. And I point out that Zane Hodges was very strong on the fact that we should tell people about the death and resurrection of Jesus in order to explain to them how the promise of life is true. But what he said is the bullseye, the center of the target, is the promise of everlasting life. And what he was upset about is there were people who would preach that Jesus died and rose again, and then they would say something like, so if you believe that and give your life to Christ and turn from your sins and live for him and follow him, then you're going to be saved. You'd be like, no, that's not right. And there were other people who would say, well, if you believe that, then you're born again apart from believing anything else. That's not true either. The truth is, you have to believe in the promise of everlasting life.
And that goes for believers of every age.
Right.
Beginning, I think, with Adam and Eve.
Genesis 3:15.
Genesis 3:15.
It alludes to it.
Right. And then Abraham is clear, in Genesis 15:6. He believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
Which is right standing with God
positionally. So for any age, it's believing the promise of everlasting life. Now, in this age, we know fully how that has been made possible because of all that Jesus has done, the Lamb of God who's taken away the sin of the world. But having done that, people still need to believe the promise of everlasting life.
There's no other way. There's only one way. The one way is Jesus, and it's by believing in the giver for the gift. And if you believe in the giver, but you don't think he gives you anything, then you're not really believing in the giver. You're believing in some facts about the giver, but you're not believing in what he gives.
But the giver means, brings up a question, what does he give? Well, he gives everlasting life.
Or the same thing is true with Savior. Okay, if you believe Jesus is a Savior, what does that mean? Well, what does a Savior do?
Yes.
He saves, right? So if you say, Jesus is a Savior, but I don't know where I'm going when I die, then you don't believe he's your Savior. You need to know for sure that you have everlasting life. So if you're listening today and you don't know for sure that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus and with his people in his kingdom on the new earth, then my encouragement to you is pray about this. Wouldn't that make sense? That's the most important thing you can know. And then I would encourage you to read John's gospel because it's designed to give you assurance of your eternal destiny. Read a chapter a day and pray each day. God, show me, is it really as simple as just believing in Jesus, the giver, for the gift of everlasting life that can never be lost? And you don't need some kind of seminary degree to get that. Like Philippe says, his daughter, when she was 4, got it. His son, when he was 8, got it. Oftentimes, seminary can confuse people.
Right? So the message is simple enough for a child.
Right.
Yet to understand, you know, all of its aspects, even theological students in seminary don't emerge from seminary with a full grasp.
Right.
You know,
we're still growing.
Up it all. We're
right?
still growing.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, is a belief in eternal security essential to justification? Join us for the next Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.